Proverbs 16, and then also we'll turn back into the Gospel to the Gospel of Luke at chapter 12. This is God's Word from Proverbs chapter 16. The plans of the heart of man belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant at heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he who loves him who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12. Beginning at verse 13. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been ministering, and there are those that are both his own 12 right around him, the 12 disciples, but then there's a larger crowd listening in as well. And once again, we pick up words from the Lord Jesus Christ and this particular ministry in the midst of those who are listening in. So Luke 12 at verse 13. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is God's word. Let's ask now his blessing upon the preaching of the word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would be our instructor, be the one to teach us and to guide us in your word. We pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are eager to receive all that you have for us, Lord, receptive to receive all that you have for us. And so guide us now in your word. We pray your blessing here, that we might serve you all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Giving focus here to Luke chapter 12 in terms of the sermon this morning, I'd like to introduce things this way. You know, the Christian life, as Christians, we think of using both hands, as we sometimes say, both hands to follow hard in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by both hands? Well, with one hand, we reach out to God's promises. We remember that he's the Lord, the Maker, the King, who owns all things. We hold fast to him. At the same time, with the other hand, we hold fast to this earth. We hold fast to the things in terms of serving the Lord. While we have every manner of strength, we hold fast to the Lord with our calling and with our service in this earth. And so that's why we say the Christian life is holding fast with both hands. You might think in terms this way with me, in terms of both hands as we hold fast to the Lord and the things of our service in this world. You remember the heavens, the Bible tells us the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. Think of this passage as well. The earth is the Lord's. That's Psalm 24. The Lord owns it all. But at the same time, the scripture is clear to teach us, even as Jesus himself taught us, that blessed are the meek. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. And so we have two hands. That's our theology. We hold fast to the Lord, and we hold fast to the things of our calling in this world to labor and to serve with the Lord. Our walk, therefore, I can summarize it this way. Our walk in discipleship is a life of stewardship. Stewardship. All that we have is a gift from God. At the same time, we use it as an entrustment. It's been entrusted to us. It's a stewardship. And so our lesson today from this passage from Luke chapter 2 is that our discipleship is a stewardship. That's going to be the traffic and the pathway that we're going to travel here this morning from this passage. There are two lessons to highlight for us here in Luke chapter 12. First of all, our God is Lord over all. He's Lord over all. And then secondly, under his lordship is everything. All is under his lordship. Let's take up this first lesson as we think about our stewardship. He is Lord. He is Lord. I'd like to pick up some of the context for us for Luke chapter 12. Yes, we're going to be giving focus to the matters of wealth, the matters of our labor, the work of our hands. We'll see that from that parable. But there's a backdrop of this context for us to remind us that he is Lord over all things. We have words of his lordship, and they are words of wisdom. They are words of power and dominion and his goodness. That is to say, he has made us. He knows us. He knows all things. Look at verse 2 of this chapter. Luke 12 at verse 2. Jesus is teaching, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed. That's to say, our God has his eye on all things. Nothing is covered that one day will not be then opened up to all things. All things will be opened before us, laid bare before us. That is his dominion. He is Lord over all. Look at verse 4. This is talking about our own lives that exist before him. Verse 4, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. He goes on to say, be warned, fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. That's to say, our lives are in his hands. Our lives are lived out before the one with whom we have to do. The sovereign one, the living God, the one who is truth, the one who has all dominion, who has all majesty. That's to say, once again, he's Lord of all. He's Lord of our bodies. He's Lord over our souls. And so Jesus warns us not to merely see, he says, fear those that can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill body and soul. Live your life as a stewardship for this one who has all lordship. And note verse 7. Note how he cares for all. He's intimately involved in our lives. Even as we're thinking about a stewardship, yes, he knows everything about it. Look at verse 7. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. You are of more value than many sparrows. He is Lord over all, but notice this. He is intimately acquainted knowing the hairs upon our heads. And he says, the value that we are his creatures, far greater value than the other creatures and in their animation or the inanimate creatures that he has made. You are valuable to the Lord. Once again, he is Lord over all. Look at one more, verse 8. And here's where, from upon our lips and how we live our lives, we are to live consistently and constantly acknowledging this lordship. Look at verse 8. Everyone who acknowledged me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels. That's to say, as our sovereign Savior is seated at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us, he also has his claim upon our lives. We who profess his name, we who acknowledge his name, we're to walk increasingly saying, Lord, I acknowledge you in all things. My life is yours. My household is yours. My calling, my career is all yours. Whatever stewardship you've placed into my hands, I acknowledge your lordship. I confess your name. I walk in your ways. And so we have to pause here and even ask the question. Yes, we acknowledge him as Lord. But are we in fact showing a life reflecting, Lord, I am your servant. I am before you in all your ways. Weak as I am, feeble and frail as I am, O God, a heart that indeed is prone to a hardness, a heart that is prone to self-reliance. Lord, take me. Remember what James has told us. It's one thing to be hearers of the word and recalled what? To be doers. And that's that consistent notion that we long to show a life that is increasingly conforming to our words. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord. Where are you this morning? Would you say before the Almighty and Living God, the one who is going to reveal all things, Father, my heart, though prone and vulnerable and susceptible to go my own way, O Lord, you are my Savior. I long to walk with you. I long to see more of that consistent life that indeed shows that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, the very one who's taken my life, given himself for me. He is Lord over all. Now, what I want to do here next is just transition slightly into this matter of how in the passage we see Jesus with his own stewardship. You see, when we start thinking about living the Christian life, Living Stone, please walk with me at this point. Walk with me at this point. We always need to hear what Jesus Christ has done for us. We always need the gospel as we seek to confess Christ and walk with him and give him our lives and tell him, Lord, this stewardship is yours. Jesus tells us right in John 15, we can't do this apart from him. And so we always come back to the passage and say, Lord Jesus, how are you our Savior, even in this area of life's stewardship? And we do that because Christ himself has a stewardship. Look at verse 13. That's now more directly right in our passage here at verse 13. There's someone in this crowd who says to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, but he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Jesus, in a very sort of maybe a bit clothed way, a bit hidden of a way, we're being reminded of his own stewardship. He's making a clarification at this point. He's saying, yes, I have a role to play. You call me teacher. He accepts that. I do have a role to play as teacher, one who's been given the commands of God, one who's been given the will of God. I am teacher here in Israel. He's obviously known in the midst of that crowd as a teacher. He has a role to play as Savior and Lord. He has the role to play. He has the commissioning in his life. That's his stewardship. To be judge. To be mediator. But he makes a distinction. He's going to make a distinction with this one who raises this question. There's some kind of family dispute. There's some kind of family issue over an inheritance. And he says, that's not my focus. That's not why I've come. You might have your teachers. You might have others that are given to being scribes and those who would be an arbitrator in terms of a family dispute. But he's being reminded, and we're being reminded from his life, that indeed he is first and foremost here to carry out his Father's will and matters of what other religious teachers would do, other religious authorities would do, to be an arbitrator between those of this family and men like this man being represented to settle some dispute. He says, that's not why I've come. That's why we say it may be a little bit clothed here. Because he makes distinctions. He's not going to be entangled with this dispute regarding what's on the mind of this man. And so he comes as well as Lord and as servant. He told us in the passage up in verse 8, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father and the angels. He is Lord. But he also comes as servant. And his focus is to carry out his mission of salvation. This morning, if Christ Jesus is yours, his stewardship of his life, the righteousness that he imparts to us all by his grace, that righteousness is yours. That enabling help is yours. And that's why he says, I will not be one to get involved with the dispute. But even with this setting of the scene and what he has come to do, he has come to be a steward for us. And that's why we always go back to Christ. We always live in his strength. We always say, Lord Jesus, I walk with you as your son. I walk with you as your daughter. And so by faith in Christ, is your faith in Christ this morning? Are you acting on that faith to confess him and to walk with him? For indeed, he is the steward for us. You remember what he said over in Matthew chapter 11? All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Don't be thinking to yourself that this stewardship and walking with Jesus is something in the abstract. Don't be thinking to yourself this morning that there's just a principle for the Christian life here. No, there's the person of who Jesus is. He says he's been the steward. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. You walk with your elder brother. Whatever puzzles you this morning, whatever concerns you have about your stewardship, whether you're consumed with the worry and the fear, are we going to make it to the end of the month? Or whether you're concerned with the worry and the fear, what's coming a month from now or 2 or 6 months from now? Your elder brother, your Savior, is the one who has all things in his hands. And you can live with the King. You get the privilege of living with the King. He will walk with you. Your elder brother goes with you. Matthew 11, there at verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. What other place, where would we rather be, right? This is all this matter of his lordship over all. Now, as we turn to the lesson of this matter that all of life is under him, notice how he sort of has a transition sort of word here at verse 15. Watch the transition. And now he says to them, you see, he broadens out, rather than just answering this one man, he's broadening out answering those who are listening. And he said to them, verse 15, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Where the man had come with a family dispute, Jesus actually takes it now and says, let's talk about your stewardship. Let's, in fact, talk about the matter. Now he broadens it out. Of course, everyone's listening to this. And he talks about this wider stewardship. And he goes for the heart. He goes for the motives. He goes to incentives and your private meditations. And what we say is he's going to drill deep, more deeply, beyond the matter of the dispute with this family inheritance stuff. And he says, take care. Be on your guard. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And this is where we now speak a bit more about Jesus' own instruction and teaching that all things are under his lordship. All things are his. And he begins to talk about covetousness. We sometimes see it translated for us, the word greed. And this is speaking about the heart. We could translate these words here when he says, be on guard against all kinds, and that's the idea, all covetousness. Be all kinds of covetousness, every form of covetousness, all types of covetousness, all varied instances of covetousness. You know, each of us have a stewardship of time. Each of us have a stewardship of our bodies. Each of us have a stewardship of making the trade-offs to minister to a neighbor, to a friend, an acquaintance, someone at work. All of us have those ranges of opportunities. How about being a steward of your thought life? There's all kinds of greed, all kinds of harboring, all kinds of things that go on in the inner man. Jesus knows this. And so you see, we're being forced to think that all things under his lordship, all things are worthy of examination. He says, be on guard. And you see, it's put to us in the negative to harness us in, because the heart likes to get away from us. The inner man likes to explore. The inner man likes to contemplate. The inner man likes to think about the what-ifs and if only. And so Jesus says, take care. And now he tells this parable. Look at verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? And so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do you want to see how Jesus is saying, take heed to the heart? It happens here when we start to see verse 16, verse 17, that this man in the parable, all to illustrate how we're given over to meditations and contemplations and worries and fears and even what ifs and if only, this man starts to reason within the heart. Verse 16, he tells the parable. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And then what? 17. And he thought to himself. He starts to reason. He starts to think about possibilities. He starts to think about if only this could fall into place. And this reasoning is all to demonstrate that indeed, where his heart is. Verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Verse 18. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Now, we think about his reasoning here. There is the fact of his stewardship. And you see, we might first of all say, okay, the opening part, verse 16 going into 17, he's thinking about his needs and responsibilities. We can give him, let's give him some rope. We can say, okay, I see where you're going with this. He's seeking to be a wise steward. He's seeking to have, you know, good management of his business. He's seeking to be prudent and thoughtful and judicious. But the course of the matter, then, you see, as Jesus begins to unfold this parable, he uncovers for us the lingering that leads on this area of his reasoning, that we start to see that decisions are being based upon himself, and that stewardship is no longer a stewardship that's been entrusted to him, but a stewardship that he in fact owns, and he owns it all. That's what's uncovered for us. And you have those four times where it's repeated that this ownership now takes over of a stewardship. Rather than it being something entrusted to him, it's something that he's created, something that he's made for himself. He says, my crops, my barns, my grain, my goods. So what first started to be perhaps some prudence and wisdom about good decision making, about business, starts to then unfold for us and be uncovered for us, that it's no longer a stewardship, but now an ownership. My crops, my goods, my grain, my barns. That's why Jesus warns us to take heed of the heart. Man's life, a woman's life, does not consist in the abundance of his or her possessions. So what's the answer? Possessions are gifts. The Christian life is lived by two hands. All those gifts, the wonderful gifts that God gives, they come from him. Paul will tell the Corinthians, why do you boast as if you indeed have generated these gifts? It's all been entrusted to you. And at the same time, we go to the altar of being sacrificial, the altar of being a servant, and saying, oh Lord, my life and everything you entrust to me is indeed a devotion, a life of devotion back to you, back to you. It's subtle, but here's one practical thing. When we are looking for work, that's our stewardship. Watch the words that are subtle here. We are to look for work. God is the one who grants the work. We sometimes can mix those words up. I've got to find a job. No, God's the one who's going to find that job. Our responsibility, our stewardship is to look. Our stewardship is to be responsible, to cultivate, to pursue. And God is the one who grants. God's the one who gifts. God's the one who opens. We look, he finds. And that's why we say possessions and our stewardship, it's a gift. It's a gift. And so as we begin to close here, Jesus reminds us, not only, you see, are all things under the lordship of God, but that's to say, all manner of providence, all manner of motives, all manner of judgment is all under God. That's why he's going to finish up at verse 20. God will say to him, when that soul thinks he has ample and his life does consist in the abundance of his possessions, he says at verse 20, God says to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus essentially is telling us to confess the fact that we are given of ourselves, to think that all is ours. All is ours. We have a treasure that is for ourselves. We have a treasure that we ourselves have mustered. We have a treasure that we ourselves have garnered. And that's that constant reminder, oh Father, deliver me from the sin of this greed. Deliver me from the sin of covetousness. Deliver me from thinking that possessions are all mine. We sometimes hear the expression, we hold all good gifts in our hands, but our fingers just have a slight edge to them, right? Our hands are open. Because we can let go of those gifts, as hard as they may be. Because our trust is in the Lord, that He indeed will be the ample supply for all things. Christ Jesus, He came into the world, and He reminded us over and over again that His own life did not and does not consist of Him holding fast to all that He had, all that He is. That's why the Bible tells us God so loved the world that He gave. He gave away. He gave His own life. He gave Himself away that indeed He might show His stewardship is all unto the Father. Through Christ Jesus, I like this wonderful promise, and I stop right here. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Go home and read this promise. It's from 2 Corinthians. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. I like all those superlatives, all those everys, and all those alls. Through Christ Jesus, we can have every sufficiency. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we would ask that the matter of rightly following our Lord, to be entrusted with this stewardship, it truly would be a stewardship that we gladly return to You in our service. And so, Father, build our faith. May we know that You're the God who's faithful. You're the God who supplies and provides. And so, Lord, may we know that we have this stewardship where You give us a season of life, You give us years in life, that we hold lightly and loosely all that You've given to us, that we might indeed bless Your holy name in our living. We might indeed encourage others and help them in their own journey, in their way, and lift them up. Help this stewardship, Father, to be well-pleasing in Your sight. We ask now Your presence and that You would go with us and lead us in Your everlasting way. In Jesus' name, amen.